I'm Ellen Sagas, sci-fi and fantasy writer from Nashville. I've got a couple of books coming out in 2024. It's Cascade Failure is the first one. Gravity Lost is the second. They're part of the Ambit's Run series. You can actually pre-order both books right now. I've got the links up over on the Bird app. You can follow me there at LM Sagas Writes.
This is a continuing episode of a series about LM Sagas's Cascade Failure.
Now I'm thinking about the power dynamics, the three powers, the spiral and the union, and then between them is the guild. What's the guild up to? What is their part in all this?
Yeah. So you've got the trust and the guild, which are your main two. And then sort of as the back cover alludes to, you sort of realize, okay, well, this doesn't really work because you have the trust, which has the money, and doesn't have the laborers, and then you have the union that has the laborers but doesn't have the money. So you have these two entities that are supposed to be opposed to each other, but they're really dependent on each other. Mm-hmm. And so somewhere along the way, someone was like, well, we kind of need like a neutral third party here who's really not out for the money. They're not concerned about the labor, like staffing planets and things like that. What they're really concerned about is just making sure that the people are taken care of. And so sort of their mantra is the neutral preservation of human life. You know, they're not going to side with the union. They're not going to side with the trust. They're going to say, okay, well, you know, people are dying in this particular situation, so we're going to step in and do something about it. And we don't care really which of you, trust or union, is in the right here. You know, who's got their feelings hurt, who's big mad. We're going to go and make sure that the people are okay. And that's the role that the guild plays, is they're sort of a peacekeeping force, but not really. And they're not associated with a particular government or, like I said, with the trust or the union. They truly are. They're intended to be sort of that neutral third party that keeps both the union and the trust in check when the union and the trust don't do it for each other, you know, when their interests are too aligned for them to truly form that check and balance. So that's what the guild does. And they've sort of grown into the third leg of the stool. You know, they might have started small, but they've sort of holistically grown into this large organization of sort of mercenaries, because like I said, they don't really answer to a government and they do take payment, but they're not really soldiers in the sense that you're part of an army and they're part of this large hierarchy. It's really just sort of these individual crews that have taken the oath and said, yes, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to do what I can to keep people alive, regardless of where that fits into the power structure.
Okay. They sound like they're kind of like independent. Is their main activity to be the, how do I say this? The muscle or the people with guns in these situations, or do they have like other jobs they have, but they're going to grab the guns when they need to?
Yeah, it's sort of the latter, because they do have crews, and the crew of the Ambit is very much that, like, let's storm the gate and figure out what's going on here. You know, we've got scavs that have scavengers. The shorthand for them is scavs in the book. You know, they've taken over some like a small colony, and they're picking apart their houses for scrap. Like, we're going to go in there and run the scavengers out. But you also have these other branches of the guild. So, for example, the programmer that they run across is actually a guild programmer, and she specializes in terraforming. And so they're very much a very flexible organization. You see most of them is in the context of, you know, we have this conflict, we're going to go in and try and help sort it out in a way that keeps the most people alive. And that's just the nature of the book itself and the conflicts that are in the book. That's how you see them, because that's where these characters are relevant. But then you also have that other side of the guild that is very much, hey, do you guys need help with your terraforming? You know, I'm going to help design fail safes and security for the computer code, essentially, that keeps these planets alive, because that is also a very important part of maximizing the protection of human life, is, you know, not just sort of the boots on the ground, shoot them up kind of role. It's also the let's try and keep bad things from happening to good people. And they have a good balance of those different types of roles in the guild.
The corporate power of the trust. So the trust is the, like, the mega corps where people have day jobs or very maybe easy jobs, hard jobs, who knows. But anyways, they'll work for the company, and they're kind of company people. Hang on a second. Yeah. Make sure I've got this right. Corporate part of the trust versus the union. And then the union is, they're the people who supply the manpower to corporate, is what I'm understanding. And then the guild is like the, how do you, the self-employed, but they have
the referees.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the trust has this sort of, they have taken over every aspect of life. You know, it's not just the job. It's, I liken it to company towns, you know, way back when.
Yeah.
When you would have a company that comes in, and mining companies, you know, manufacturers would come in and say, we're going to make a place for you to live. You're going to live here. You're going to work here. We're going to be your government. We're going to be your providers. We're going to be your healthcare. We're going to be everything. And that's kind of the role that the trust has taken. They also, you know, they have that exploratory element. They're going out there and settling these worlds, you know, they're doing the terraforming, and you see that comes through. You know, there are some issues with letting a company do that.
Yeah.
And some of those issues come through in the story. That's sort of an underlying theme of the story, is, okay, so you've got this company, its primary goal is the generation of capital. How much do you really trust them to be the, like, be all end all for people? You know, do you really trust them to keep people alive and value people as themselves and not just sort of what they can contribute to the trust bottom line? And the union has sort of a dual role in that of, you know, yes, the laborers come through the union, but the union is also sort of a regulator. They, you know, almost, let's come to the table, let's do a collective bargaining agreement, kind of straight up standard union stuff of, we expect you, the trust, to do X, Y, and Z if you're going to be running these company towns. And you get that. That's where the push-pull comes in of, like, yes, we technically need each other, so we can't just, you know, walk away from the table. But, you know, the union exists to make the trust sort of behave. And then the trust exists to, you know, build out the universe.
Yeah.
And then the guild, like you said, is sort of that intermediary, sort of, they keep everyone playing fair to the extent that they can, and kind of come in when the union, when their hands are tied, or, you know, when they can't necessarily take the action that needs to be taken, they come in and take care of it for them, because they are that neutral third party, don't really answer to anyone, which also is a theme that comes up in the book, because you also don't want, someone needs to be watching the watcher, you know? So we got a little bit of that too. There's a little bit of everything. If you really hate hardcore capitalism, you'll find something in the book for you.
If you enjoy listening to Sci-Fi Thoughts, but find it difficult to remember to check the website for new shows, get this technology from the future, install into your phone a podcast player. Using this, you can subscribe to our podcast feed. And next thing you know, you'll be cruising around in your car with your phone plugged in, playing Sci-Fi Thoughts, or you'll be out there jogging, or you'll be doing whatever you want to do.
Get the podcast. podcast player down.
And have your ears plugged into some cool science fiction programming. You can find instructions on LancerKind.com. Check out the goodies in the show notes. There you will see content such as links to her book, Cascade Failure, and her webpage. What are show notes? Show notes show up right in your podcast player. They're zipped right in there. Whenever your podcast player pulls in your subscription of Sci-Fi Thoughts. If you're not using a podcast player, go back to the website where you downloaded the MP3, and there on the webpage, you will see show notes. This is a continuing episode of a series that started at episode 267. If you missed that episode and want to find it, go to scifithoughts.space, type into the search box 267, and it will direct you to where you need to go. Next episode, more LM sagas. There's a little bit of trouble in paradise here because on the subscription it says that Hal, I mean, I don't know what's up with Hal, but he's branded as a guild deserter. What's going on there?
Everyone sees Hal has broken this trust, and that becomes a very central part to Hall's arc, is sort of figuring out what happened, figuring out, you know, why he's marked a deserter, and figuring out, you know, what that means for the other characters who are seeing that and, you know, who have feelings about what he has done, what they think he's done. Saint Owen Nash Triumvirate is very much, you know, they see themselves as family. And so to them, thinking about, well, this guy turned his back on his crew, and in a way that was bad enough that they said he deserted them, you know, they're thinking, hey, we were in a firefight and he turned tail and ran, or something like that. You know, you see that, and it's, you have turned your back on what we essentially consider to be family. And, you know, it's even stronger because it's the family that we chose. You know, we go into this saying, I'm going to have your back, you're going to have my back, and we're going to trust each other. And we have that bond. So then, you know, especially for someone like Saint, for example, who like lives and breathes this oath, that's a pretty big deal, right? That's a pretty significant betrayal of what he believes in, because it's not just loyalty to the guild, capital G, it's loyalty to your individual crew,